Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
5 young students disappear from Washington, D.C. They leave behind a disturbing farewell video, and they show up in Pakistan, allegedly ready to fight a holy war.
They fell under the spell of radical Islam, either online or through radical
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway podcast.
Their,
if there's
mosque.
A story you think
American
we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Secretly, our own people are engaged in something that most of us don't know about.
It's a tough situation when a parent reports to the FBI about their own child, something we'd all have mixed feelings about. An internal holy war on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Friday, December 11th, and Todd Zwillick is here with me, filling in for John Hockenberry. Good morning, Todd.
Thank you, Celeste. Good morning. Along with that, we have a look at the 5 Americans arrested in Pakistan. Also, it's an anniversary. Bernie Madoff was arrested 1 year ago today, and we'll talk to one of the victims. Let's get right to it. Everything you need to know this morning.
As we've been telling you, the 5 young American men who made their way to Pakistan were reportedly on their way to battle U.S. troops in Afghanistan. The Pakistani police officer was among this Pakistani police officer was among those who arrested the D.C. area Americans.
They had U.S. passports, valid passports with valid Pakistani visas, and they were here for jihad.
They reportedly contacted militant groups via YouTube and other websites, but were rebuffed by the terror groups for being too Western. Pakistani officials say the 5 Americans will be deported. And a drone attack in Western Pakistan has reportedly killed a top Al-Qaeda official. Government officials aren't identifying who that is yet. CBS News is reporting he's one of the top 5 terrorists on the U.S.'s most wanted list. Reports aren't clear that it's not bin Laden or his top lieutenant. For the latest on this story, we're joined now live by BBC correspondent Aleem Maqbool from Islamabad. Good morning, Aleem.
Yes, good morning, Celeste.
As you know, we don't have any identification on who this top Al-Qaeda leader is, so are we sure that a top Al-Qaeda official was actually killed?
No, and to be honest with you, we're not even sure whether there was, in fact, an airstrike, because that's what's being claimed, that an Al-Qaeda leader was killed in an American airstrike, a drone strike, one of these pilotless planes, in the tribal areas of Pakistan. Well, today we're being told by the Pakistani army that, in fact, there was no drone strike in the last 24 hours, so they're not sure where these reports are coming from. And we haven't been able to get any confirmation officially anywhere that this person has been killed. But it is a very difficult area to get to, these tribal areas. It is very difficult to verify if there have been strikes, airstrikes or not, and who's been killed in them, because it is very much a Taliban stronghold. There are military operations going there, and it is a very unsafe place to be for civilians and for reporters, of course.
Okay, thanks, Aleem. Aleem Maqbool is a correspondent for our partner, the BBC.
Now, our partner, the New York Times, is reporting that private security guards working for Blackwater participated in covert CIA raids in Iraq and Afghanistan. The so-called snatch-and-grab raids reportedly happened regularly between 2004 and 2006. The CIA denies the report. The outbreak of the H1N1, or swine flu, in this country is worse than we thought.
Sadly, nearly 10,000 deaths, including 1,100 among children and 7,500 among younger adults. That's much higher than in a usual flu season.
Last month, CDC Director Thomas Frieden had estimated only about 4,000 swine flu deaths. 50 million Americans, that's one in every 6 of us, has caught the disease.
Asian markets were down, but European indices were up in early trading. The Dow will open at 10,405. The S&P starts out at 1,102, and the NASDAQ will open at 2,190.
The president comes back to the U.S. as a Nobel Prize winner today. What's that going to change for him at home? Nothing? Make it harder? What's the task at hand for the president, the Nobel Prize winner? That's 877-8-MY-TAKE. Email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. We want to hear from you.
Coming up, we have more details about the 5 Americans who went missing for a month and turned up in Pakistan.
You're
listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning. Five young Muslim Americans from the Washington, D.C. suburbs were arrested this week in Pakistan, and Pakistani officials say they are linked to Al-Qaeda. We're joined now by Ibrahim Hooper. He's the National Communications Director for the Council on American-Islamic Relations, and Siobhan Gorman, Intelligence Correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. And I'm joined at the table, of course, by Todd Zwillick, who's filling in for John Hockenberry. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Hi.
Siobhan, tell me first, we have no confirmation at this point that there's ties between these men and a terrorism plot, correct?
Well, there, I guess, are suspicions at this point that they were not a terrorism plot, but that they were seeking some sort of jihad training. And the stories are still a little bit confusing at this point, because American officials are definitely warning a lot more caution, and Pakistani officials are definitely getting quite out in front in terms of talking about internet communications with people who at least are linked to Al-Qaeda, and it's not always clear what that means. But there does seem to be some strong suspicion that they were at least seeking to do some sort of jihad-type training in Pakistan.
And we have word from the Pakistani officials that they'll be deported back to the United States, but as of yet, there have been no charges filed.
Correct.
Siobhan, this is Todd Zwillick. You know, there's growing concern around Washington and a lot of other places about the next threat, homegrown terrorism. Are people going to jump to a conclusion that this is yet another case of homegrown jihadism?
Well, I think that we'll obviously have to see what sorts of charges get filed and things like that. If the details that are emerging now do seem to hold up, I think that people probably will point to this as another of the recent cases of young men in the United States, American citizens, becoming radicalized, perhaps through internet communications or, you know, other sorts of local interactions, and trying to, you know, go begin to take action on that somewhere overseas. So, yes, I mean, the interesting thing is that we've actually seen a number of these cases emerge, particularly this year, and I've talked with counterterrorism experts who are kind of puzzled as to why we're seeing so much of this year.
Ibrahim, I want you to listen to something that we heard from Imam Johari Abdul Malik, from Northern Virginia.
This is really a moral low for our community. Parents have to say, let me take a second look at my child. They seem normal, but secretly, our own people are engaged in something that most of us don't know about. And that is sending a chill through our community.
Ibrahim Hooper of Council on American Islamic Relations, I just want to get your reaction to that. Is there a chill going through the Muslim community?
Well, I don't know that there's a chill, but there's obviously a concern when you get a case, and if it turns out to be the way it's being portrayed, because already some of the information coming out of Pakistan we know is inaccurate, just as the organization that was talking to the families, even things like, you know, names and all of these kinds of things have been portrayed inaccurately. So I would wait until they get back here, can be debriefed, and see what the real situation is. But it raises this case, and possibly others, raise enough concerns that it's something that the Muslim community wants to deal with. That's why we're planning an outreach campaign to Muslim youth, offering a mainstream perspective on a variety of issues, so that when they go on the internet and have access to these kinds of extremist viewpoints from overseas, you know, that they have a balancing perspective. Because I don't think we're seeing this kind of thing develop from something that's said in a mosque in America. You're seeing it develop from people accessing extremist websites or extremist viewpoints in the international arena.
Siobhan Gorman of Wall Street Journal, I want you to listen to this reaction from terrorism analyst Neil Livingston.
There were no radical influences within the household, but they fell under the spell of radical Islam, either online or through radical imams in their local mosque, things like that.
And you heard what Ibrahim Hooper said. Are these radical imams, maybe from overseas, are they actually recruiting Americans?
Well, we don't know that yet. What we're told, and again, this is from a few Pakistani officials at this point, and so everybody's trying to kind of doubly verify some of these things, is that they were in communication with people who were at least linked to Al-Qaeda operatives via the internet. So most of the indications are at this point that, if radicalization occurred, it may well have occurred because of internet communications with people overseas. There weren't a lot of indications that there were influences within the community in the U.S. that were pushing them in this direction. But again, we don't know enough yet to make strong conclusions one way or the other.
Ibrahim Hooper, your organization, the Council on American Islamic Relations, was actually involved in turning these five young men over to the FBI, or going to the FBI with the concerns of the parents. And I'm wondering what kind of concern is this? If there is, a seduction for young Muslims toward this radical viewpoint, is there a strong concern among the Muslim community in the United States that they won't have control over this, that this is something that could go on without them being able to step in?
Well, when the parents came to us, we didn't know exactly what was going on, and again, we still don't know exactly what was going on, but they had suspicions, they had concerns. All they knew at that point was that they believed their children had gone overseas. They didn't know why, they didn't know what motivated them, they didn't know anything. They came to us, and we put it together mainly with this video that was left behind, and said, look, we got to inform the authorities about this, and it's gone forward from there.
So, I mean, the takeaway for me is a question, really. How do we as Americans, all Americans, Muslim or not, how do we guard against this? How do we watch for signs of extremism?
Again, I think it's the duty of any parent, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, whatever, you got to watch your kids. You got to be aware of what they're doing on the internet. I know that's difficult, but just interact with them. Make sure that their emotional and spiritual needs are being taken care of, so they're not feeling like they have to go to some internet extremist site to get some kind of fulfillment.
Okay, Ibrahim Hooper. Hooper is the National Communications Director of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Siobhan Gorman is a intelligence correspondent with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks to both of you, talking about the five young Muslim Americans who disappeared from the Washington, D.C. area and showed up in Pakistan. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in now on stories that we're following.
Well, a final vote is set later today on a House measure aimed at overhauling the rules that govern Wall Street. But first, House members will have to decide whether to back an amendment that would kill a proposed Consumer Financial Protection Agency. That's one of the bill's main features. In international news, NBC and CBS are reporting that a top Al-Qaeda member has been killed in a drone attack in western Pakistan. CBS News is reporting that, according to a government official, the attack happened recently. The identification of the target is not known, although intelligence officials are saying that Al-Qaeda's top two leaders, that's Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri, were not involved in the attack. Staying in Asia, North Korea is talking about its first talks with the Obama administration. Following a visit this week to Pyongyang by the envoy Stephen Bosworth, the North Korean state news agency said the two sides had agreed on the need to restart stalled international talks on the nuclear issue.
In the U.S., the Center for Disease Control has released figures for Americans who've contracted the H1N1 or swine flu virus since April of this year. Here's the CDC Director, Dr. Thomas Frieden.
There have been, we estimate, nearly 50 million cases, mostly in younger adults and children, more than 200,000 hospitalizations.
Dr. Frieden says almost 10,000 people have died from the H1N1 virus since April. And Defense Secretary Robert Gates is telling American soldiers in Iraq their mission remains critical. He says American forces may remain in Iraq in a support capacity beyond 2011. And Billboard magazine has released the top album of the decade. It belongs to a group that no longer exists. NSYNC's No Strings Attached sold more than 10 million copies. That's some of the stories that we're following this morning. Stay with us. We'll be talking about the TARP, Citigroup's TARP bailout money possibly being repaid.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.